It was a wonderfully small and scrappy sort of church. Opened in the 1960s, it was never very big, but deeply impactful. St. Michael's was my college church at UC Santa Barbara. It had a fairly small sanctuary with a very steep roof line. Think of like an A-frame that twirled up at the end like wings. It had a lot of funky colored glass in the windows. I would not call it stained glass, definitely part of the 60s. And this little church sat on a piece of property that was an entire city block, smack in the middle of Isla Vista, the student village town, not a city, next to the university. I remember attending the 10:30 a.m. service on my very first Sunday in college. I know, I was one of those. And found immediate comfort in reciting the familiar words of our Sunday liturgy, knowing that my family was doing the same thing at my home church. It took a bit of the sting out of the sharp pangs of homesickness I had that morning. And when I greeted the priest on my way out, and I got a, "I thought you might be Whitney," I knew I had found my church. St. Michael's was a place of welcome and a place to gather all who walked through the doors. It was probably the only multi-generational place that I encountered as a college student. Almost all of my living and learning was done with lots and lots of 18 to 22-year-olds. It also had this unique quality of being a resting place for many during a sharply transitional time in their lives. Many undergraduates, graduate students, and teaching faculty came through the church while they were at UC Santa Barbara for those 4 to 6 years. And then they moved on to their next chapter. St. Michael's was often one of the only stable places in our lives as students, as we moved every year, changed classes every semester, and were in constant flux. We sometimes describe St. Michael's as a train station, a place to rest and renew and have a snack before our next leg of our journey. And it was a deeply transformative place for me. This was the first church that I was known as a person, for myself, away from my family. That the people met me not in conjunction with who I was related to. It was the first church that I was seen as an adult. It was the first church that I pledged at. It was the first church that I preached at. It was the first church that I served on a bishop's committee, like a vestry, but for a smaller church. And a search committee as we went through a search for a new rector. It was the church that sponsored me as I applied for ordination the first time. And it was the first church that I spoke to all clergy and adults by using their first name. It was the place that I met and fell in love with my husband, Scott. St. Michael's is a living example on a large scale of a church model that is used in many different contexts. This church model describes what we do as Christians in 3 words: gather, transform, and send. We strive to do this every Sunday here at Resurrection, and Jesus is modeling this today for us in the gospel. The Transfiguration, the story that we just heard about Jesus changing his presence, being on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah, inviting his closest friends to see his truly divine nature, is a critical story in Jesus' ministry. It is included in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it is chosen as the last story we hear in the season of Epiphany before we begin Lent on Wednesday. This is the story that is the culmination of the season of searching, of the Epiphany season, of following the star and finding the Christ child and knowing that the Magi were encountering the Holy. These disciples are changed because of this experience, because of this encounter with Jesus as the divine Christ. And like the Magi, the journey has changed their direction, and they will forever go in a new way. Up to this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus has been visiting some of the villages and healing those that are in pain. He's been teaching at synagogues and in open areas, while more and more people begin to gather. But for this story, Jesus goes away from all of those crowds. He gathers those closest to him, Peter and James and John, and he takes them up to a mountaintop. And here, he is transformed in front of them. They still recognize Jesus as their teacher and leader, but he is different. He is glowing, and Moses and Elijah are with him. The disciples have been given a sample, a little teaser of the glory that is to come. And then, as Peter lovingly does, I love Peter, offers his commentary of the moment. It is good that we are here. He tries to capture this time, to hold on to it, to extend it as long as he possibly can. But that's not Jesus's plan. He quickly ushers them along, sends them back down the mountaintop, back into the messiness of everyday living, back into the ordinary. These mountaintop experiences, as they are commonly referred to, are moments in our lives when we feel particularly close to God. Times when we can feel the tangible presence of the Holy. They are often life-changing, and they fortify us when we struggle through the challenging days in our lives. These experiences give us strength as we reflect back on them. So why are we hearing this story today, this last Sunday Epiphany, as we're getting ready to enter into Lent? I think one reason is that it reminds us, in a scriptural way, of what we are called to do and be as Christians, as believers in Jesus. Gather, transform, and send. That is the game plan. It is what we are called to be as a church, and it is what we are called to do as Jesus' followers. We gather as a community on Sunday mornings and other times all during the week. We invite others to join us, and we welcome anyone who comes through the door and finds their way here. And we come to worship together. We come knowing that God is present here with us. We come expecting to see the Holy Spirit show up. We open ourselves to one another and to God's presence so that we can be transformed. And then we go out into the world. We go out with our lives changed. We go out to witness to the Holy in our regular days. We go out to testify to the gospel. And sometimes that going out part, that sending part, that's the most difficult. As transformative as a place as St. Michael's was for me, it was not a constant mountaintop experience. During those 4 years, we lost some of the members in our community. Others graduated and took new positions and left. Every Sunday, we had to leave that sanctuary and go back out into the world, a community that was filled with unhoused and hungry folks, those in pain, those in pain, in need of comfort, those lost and struggling with mental illness, those struggling with anxiety and depression. And it was a place for me that changed my trajectory in life, It was transformative for me. But I couldn't stay there forever. As much as I would have loved to have captured those 4 years in time and kept them in a little bottle up on my shelf, been able to pull them out when I needed to, it doesn't work that way. It's actually probably not desirable. Life tends to work in spirals. You're transformed, and then you're sent out into the world, and then you gather again, and you're transformed, and you go out into the world. You gather together, you come close to the holy, and then you're sent out to share Jesus' light with the world. This work is not simple. Being a follower of Jesus is not simple. Being a light is not simple, particularly today. In some ways, it's much easier to stay on that mountaintop. It's clear up there. The air is easy to breathe. You see things for what they are. You are being shown the truth, and you can embrace it totally and completely. But that's not really what it's like to be like a human in the world. We live most of our time down in the valley. Our life can feel messy and mundane, and we struggle to see the holy. And this is where the challenge comes from Jesus, to use our transformation to transform the world, to share our glowing faces with the people that we meet, to engage and care for others who we share this world with, to know that the holy is not only on the mountaintop, but in our everyday messy moments in life. Gather, transform, and send. It is our calling card as Christians and followers of Jesus. Amen.